Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Ben Stiles' The Battle of Bretton Woods is a nonfiction history of the 1944 conference that designed the post-war international monetary system and created the institutional framework that later included the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Rather than treating Bretton Woods as a simple example of Allied cooperation, the book argues that the meeting was shaped by rivalry, strategic calculation, and competing national interests, especially between the United States and Great Britain. Its central figures are John Maynard Keynes, the influential British economist leading the UK delegation, and Harry Dexter White, the American Treasury official whose ideas strongly influenced the final arrangement. Stiles uses archival evidence to show how monetary design, wartime politics, and broader geopolitics were tightly connected. The book also explains why the Bretton Woods order differed from the classical gold standard, and why its built-in weaknesses eventually mattered for the global financial system. It is both a political history and a study of monetary architecture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Bretton Woods as a contest for post-war power, not just a cooperative settlement. A major contribution of the book is its rejection of the familiar story that Bretton Woods was mainly an orderly Anglo-American partnership. Stiles presents the conference as part of a larger struggle over who would shape the post-war economy, with the United States emerging from the war in a position to define the rules. In this account, the design of the system was inseparable from geopolitics. American officials were not only trying to stabilize exchange rates and trade, but also to limit Britain's ability to preserve its former financial influence. That framing changes the meaning of the conference itself. Instead of a neutral technical meeting, it becomes a venue where monetary policy served strategic objectives. The result is a more realistic picture of how international institutions are made not by abstract consensus, but by bargaining among states with unequal power, divergent interests, and long-term political goals. Secondly, the rivalry between Keynes and Harry Dexter White as a clash of economic visions. The book organizes much of its narrative around the contrast between Keynes and White, whose personal and intellectual differences help explain the outcome of the negotiations. Keynes is presented as the celebrated British theorist trying to secure room for Britain in a changing world, while White appears as a practical and forceful Treasury official who translated American advantage into institutional design. Their dispute was not merely personal. It reflected different assumptions about how international adjustment should work, who should bear the burden of balance of payments pressure, and how much freedom nations should retain over domestic policy. Stiles shows that White was able to turn technical drafting into political leverage, while Keynes, despite his stature, could not fully overcome Britain's weakened position. This rivalry gives the book its analytical core because it demonstrates that ideas matter, but they matter most when linked to institutional power and diplomatic timing. Thirdly, how Harry Dexter White shaped the architecture of the IMF and the dollar-centered order. Another important theme is White's role as the chief architect of the American position. Stiles emphasizes that White had already drafted a proposal for the post-war monetary system before the conference, which allowed him to enter Bretton Woods with a clear blueprint and a strong negotiating advantage. The book argues that White used procedural strategy as much as theory. He prepared for opposition, managed commissions, and positioned himself to influence the details that mattered most. This made the final agreement look less like a compromise between equals and more like a system closely aligned with the American draft. The broader implication is that institutional design can lock in power relations for decades. By helping create a framework in which the dollar became central, White contributed to a system that expanded U.S. monetary influence while also making global liquidity dependent on American policy choices. That tension between leadership and responsibility sits at the center of the book's interpretation of the post-war order. Fourthly, why the Bretton Woods system differed from the classical gold standard. Stiles devotes special attention to the monetary mechanics of Bretton Woods because they explain both its strengths and its eventual fragility. He contrasts the system with the pre-1914 gold standard, which relied on automatic market discipline and cross-border gold flows to regulate credit conditions. In his telling, that earlier arrangement had a built-in adjustment mechanism that prevented persistent imbalances from growing unchecked. Bretton Woods, by contrast, was not a true gold standard and did not contain the same automatic corrective pressure. The United States was expected to supply liquidity to the world, but the system did not ensure that U.S. gold reserves would remain sufficient if liabilities kept expanding. This created a structural contradiction: the world needed more dollars. Yet the credibility of those dollars depended on gold backing that could be undermined by the system's own success. The book uses this comparison to show that monetary regimes are not just policy choices, they contain hidden incentives and vulnerabilities. Lastly, the collapse of Bretton Woods and the book's relevance for later monetary crises. The book's historical argument reaches beyond 1944 by explaining why Bretton Woods eventually unraveled and why later debates still invoke its name. Style connects the system's design flaws to the pressure that culminated in the end of dollar convertibility in 1971, when the United States closed the gold window. This is not presented as a sudden accident, but as the consequence of a framework that depended on growing international confidence in the dollar without giving the system a durable automatic adjustment mechanism. That interpretation makes the book useful for readers interested in recurring debates about exchange rate regimes, reserve currencies, and international reform. When policymakers call for a new Bretton Woods during periods of financial turmoil, they are usually invoking stability and coordination. Style's history complicates that appeal by showing that the original arrangement was always a political compromise with built-in asymmetries. The book therefore serves both as a historical study and as a warning about the limits of grand monetary blueprints. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want more than a standard account of post-war diplomacy, students of economic history, international relations. Political economy and monetary policy will find it especially valuable because it combines institutional history with a clear argument about power, strategy, and design. It also benefits readers who are interested in the origins of the IMF, the World Bank, and the dollar-centered international order, since those institutions are treated as outcomes of negotiation rather than inevitable progress. What distinguishes the book from many other Bretton Woods histories is its insistence on the geopolitical dimension of the conference and its close attention to Harry Dexter. White's drafting role. Style does not simply recount events. He explains how technical monetary rules were used to shape the post-war balance of power. That combination of archival research, institutional analysis, and clear narrative makes the book useful both as a scholarly reference and as a broader interpretive history of modern global finance. It is especially rewarding for readers who want to understand why monetary systems succeed, why they fail, and how international economic rules are actually made. If you would like to support Ben Style, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.